This afternoon we start a new chapter, chapter 60, verses 1 through 4, and 19 and 20. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thine light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thine side. The sun shall be no more than light by day, neither for brightness shall be the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory thy God. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Here we have the Lord speaking. But he's speaking as the prophet speaks in prophetic terms here, is as if he's talking to the individual that the Messiah has given light to. He's talking to the church and the world, the Gentiles. He's talking about the Gentile world to come to the light of the church, which would be the gospel. He's talking about an enlightenment, a rise in enlightenment to walk in the light. He's talking about spiritual light. This is spiritual enlightenment. So it's metaphorical, not an actual light. And we see it changes a little bit in the 19th and the 20th verse where he says, you'll have no more need of the sun. The sun, because God would be that light and in all steel. He's not talking about getting rid of the moon and the sun. He's talking about us allowing our light to so shine that our light reflects God. It's just like with the moon. The moon has no light of its own. It has no way of generating light. It reflects the light from the sun.
Right.
We reflect the light of Jesus Christ in our lives as he glorifies us and brings us into view here, into focus. The Job, a radiant, he's talking about when he says, arise, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory that we'll have will be as the people looked at and couldn't behold the face of Moses, for he had been in the presence of the Lord. When the radiant lines of the saints starts to go forth, we see in the book of Job, the 11th chapter and the 17th verse, it says, and your life would be brighter than the noonday. Darkness then would be like the morning sun. In other words, what happens is when we start reflecting the glory of God, when we start being obedient to God, our countenance, everything about us is going to change to where God now is our light and we shine forth that light in the world, that we're the lights of the world. Something about the saints changed. That's that internal spirit that's working in us, the spirit working in the saints of God. The book of Psalms, the 34th chapter in the 5th verse says, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. That's because they're the ones that's obedient unto God. They're the ones that are saying the right things. They're the ones who had came to the light and are being shaped and molded in his image. And they having what they're saying and they living a life. It's not as to book your best life now, but it's that we'll be living in the shadow of the Almighty. His Son reflects off of us. It's not our light. It's the light of him in us. That's why it says men will see your light and give God the glory. They'll start coming to the house of God. The Gentiles will come from afar. The confusion, it won't be any confusion because we're not speaking our own will. We're not speaking of ourselves because we're the obedient of God we're dying to self, and everything that we say is just like the Spirit. It's the truth. The truth illumines. The truth causes delight. The truth is light. Ecclesiastes 8:1 says, "Who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines his face and causes his stern face to beam." It was like looking at Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they said that it was more brighter or lighter than a fuller's light. In other words, there's a certain radiance of the light. It's a truth has a clean aspect from it, a glowing aspect to it. There's something about a man that's in the face of truth that's tempered. The Amplified reads that scripture, Ecclesiastes 8:1. It says, "How wonderful to be wise, to understand things, to be able to analyze them and interpret them. Wisdom lights up a man's face, softening its hardness." In other words, now we are more pliable as Jesus was pliable. Children came to Jesus.
Yes.
Children, he says, not stop them from coming, allow them to come, permit the children to come unto him. His word giveth light and it gives understanding. And if when you start having the ability to understand things and analyze and interpret the things of the world, the things in earth, that's a wisdom. And Solomon had a worldly wisdom. It was toward secular things. But this is a wisdom toward human, say, I don't want to use the word psychology or whatever, but the understanding of people as Jesus understands people. In other words, it's a discernment coming from God. There's no self-centered motivation from you. There's no underlying cause of why you're doing it, but for the love of God. It's God in you. You're being fully led by the Spirit of God. This is those that are yielded to God, that's dependent on God for His wisdom in a situation. They that lack wisdom are the acts of God. So these are people that's walking in the will of God. They're walking in His Word. As in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter and the 3rd verse, and I'll read all 3 versions of this. The King James says, "And they be that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." This is during this end time. The children of God, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So that's why I say, as we start seeing the truth go throughout the earth and in the land, as God's people start speaking the truth, that's what's going to come forward. Everything else is going to start to be fading toward the background. The foundations, if we'll see, the foundations are starting to crack. They're starting to crumble. And God's people, this is an inspiration to them to draw closer to the truth. We start drawing truths from every realm of life, that the kingdom of God is among us, but it's also within us. And it's getting out and it's seeping out. We allowing that light of the kingdom to come forth, and we get brighter as we expel that light. The Amplified reads, "Those who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." The more you hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, you become a channel, not a reservoir, but a channel to where you feed up. You go about doing the will of God. You going about in that great commission of leading others to Christ. That's why I say, he says that we'll be like little messiahs. He's sending us out as John the Baptist was sent out to prepare the way for him coming, because he's going to come with a suddenness to his temple. That suddenness is going to destroy the adversary. So that coming is right up on us. That coming is doing that right now. That's why it's a day of judgment. The day of vengeance at hand. Only the people of God see and understand what's going on, and we are growing stronger. That's why sometimes we can be deterred. A lot of things happen to us in the course of the day, but none of it deters us. We continually wax brighter and brighter and not being depressed, not being cast down, but being lifted up. Continually, God's laying something there, opening a way to lift up. If we're searching and seeking for God, He's going to make Himself known. And that's what children of God are doing constantly throughout the day. They're looking for God in circumstances and situations that they're in. That light is shining ever brighter. The Living Version says, and those who are wise, that is the people of God. He's not talking about everybody. And He's not talking about worldly wisdom. He says, those who are wise, the people of God, shall shine as brightly as the sun's brilliance. And those who turn many to righteousness will glitter like the stars forever. In other words, that's what's going to attract the Gentiles. That's what's going to attract the people that are hungering for truth, that receive the love of the truth. There's a lot of them that don't have the love of the truth, and they're becoming dull. They're becoming dull of hearing. They're becoming dull of sight. They're becoming dull of understanding. But God's people, He's making the simple wise. Not with the wisdom of this world, but with the wisdom of God. In John 5:35, it says, John was the lamp that kept on burning and shining to show you the way. And you were willing for a while to rejoice in his light. And we must do that same thing. We must burn our light out. Yes. He must increase and we must decrease. We must continue to shine. And as we die to self, if we die to ourself, he's living his life in through us. It is Christ that liveth. And the more we let him out, the more he comes out as a roaring lion. He's going to vanquish the adversary. He's going to vanquish all of those that come up against us. As I said, we have to just learn to humble ourselves and allow the Lord to work in our lives. And he's going to work in and through us and against other people and with other people. And God's very active in this day and time, and we have to see his word. We have to hunt for God as searching for fine gold. We have to have that faith that he's going to act in our behalf. In the book of Acts, the 6th chapter and the 15th verse, it says, then all those who were sitting in the council stared intently at him, and they saw that Stephen's face was like the face of an angel, because he was standing there after he had proclaimed the gospel message to them. And they took and stoned him to death. And Stephen was saying, Lord, lay not this to their charge. Forgive them. The Living says, at this point, everyone in the council chamber saw Stephen's face become as radiant as an angel's face. See, sometimes to see God, the brightness of God, that brightness reflects on us, and we're reflecting God. And like I say, the world can see that. People can see that. They may fear it in the wrong with a familiar fear. They may fear it with not a reverence of God. But they know they are in the presence of something awful. Something very awesome. Very awesome. Because he's an awesome God, and he strikes fear and reverence. And it's a fear sometimes, the dread of a hornet sting. But it's also the fear and reverence that he places into his people. 2 Corinthians 3:18, maybe we'll read all three versions of it. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. It says we're changed into the same image. In what image? In that image that God had said he was to create man in his image and his likeness. So he's not talking about everyone, but he's talking about the church. We know after we pass the book of Acts and get into the epistles, these are letters to the church. This is 2 Corinthians. In the Amplified Version, it says, "And we all," what all? The church, the people of God, "with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of God, of the Lord, are progressively," that's a continuous, gradually, but it's not going back, it's going forward. We're continuously being transformed into His image, from one degree of that image to another degree. It's not all of a sudden, but it's happening as if you're waking up, as you're being aroused. That's why He says, "Arise and shine." He's quickening us. He's making us alive, and sometimes it's according to our faith, our obedience, our trust in Him, our Christian walk. He says, "From one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." It's the Spirit, because that the Holy Spirit came in His name, and this is what's working in us. He gave us the Spirit both to will and to do in us. The Living Version says, "But we Christians have no veil over our faces. We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord." That's what we're supposed to be. Just like the moon reflecting the glory of God off of us. That light, we're that light. He said, "Let that light so shine that men would see that light." We're not veil. It's put that treasure in earthen vessel, but look like the earthen or the dirt's wearing off, and people see a different image. They see something differently. That's why James and Jude, they didn't address Jesus as their earthly brother. They called Him Lord, the Master. Look at the epistles, because Jesus had transcended. And that's what we must do. We must transcend above this earthly plane, above this worldly level. We must not walk as men.
Yes.
We must not walk as mere men. We must walk as the sons of God. He says, "And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him." We can't have that pathetic, puny nature of man. We must put that off. We're putting up Christ on. So we're being made in His image. Now, we already, man was made in the likeness. That's a physical, that was physical, but we're talking an image. The expressed image of God. In other words, His character. This is the image we're talking about. His character, His nature. That nature of His. And it's increasing in us. That's what the people are looking at. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians and read all three verses in Philippians. It says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Darkness has come upon the earth. They are groping in darkness. He said, in verse 2 of Isaiah 6 chapter, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen unto thee." That's why I say, we're witnessing something in this election cycle. We witnessed something now. And we see the darkness that's in this nation. We see the wickedness, and I keep using Hillary Clinton's name, as deplorable as a majority of this bit of the people of this nation are. They're the deplorable. They love darkness, as Thessalonians says. They love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are darkness. They're motivated by darkness. That's their wicked hearts are like that. But we're to be light. And believe me, there is a civil war brewing, because in this physical world, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling with dupes. There are those that are minions of Satan, that they're in physical bodies. It's a spiritual warfare, but those hadn't been enlightened, Jesus said, they could be enemies of your own home. It's going to be your spouses, your children, your parents. It's going to be those that don't understand God, and they're going to hate God because God's going to impinge upon their lives. They're in darkness. They dwell in darkness. They love darkness rather than light. They're going to hate you because you're taking on the image of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what they hate in you. It's like a lot of times a woman or a man will look at the child and not like that child because what? They see the image of that partner. Or that spouse that say, you just like your daddy, or you just like your mom. Well, they're trying to destroy that. That's what they despise. And see, sometimes God sends someone to us that's just like us, and we hate it. See, that's what prejudice is. When you prejudice against a different race or something, it's something that you hate that you don't understand because that's a mirror image of you. That's why you hate it so much. When you start hating homosexuality and all of these things, of course there may be abominations and all of those things. But God gave us the ability to love our enemies, to love everything.
Yes.
Every creature God created was for a purpose. It says that we are to be lights in a dark world. The Amplified Version says, so that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and guileless. Not the next person. Not anybody else but yourselves. You may be a Daniel, Meshach, and Shadrach, and Abednego in the midst of a whole Jewish nation that's been turned. You remember I told you the majority of the Jews didn't come out of Palestine. I mean, didn't come out of Babylon when God called them out of Babylon. Well, they're not going to come out of Babylon now, as in Revelation when he says, come out of her, my people. He's calling his people out of Babylon now. The other day, there was a newscast in which Chuck Schumer, issued a press conference, and he says Netanyahu had gone way off the rails. He's then exceeded the limits, and it was a back and forth. Netanyahu was on Fox or some other channel saying the people was asking, it was CNN or something was asking, what do you think about what Charles Schumer said? Because like I said, you can see the wickedness and evilness in what Netanyahu is doing. He's past the pale. The foundation is destroyed.
Yes.
Chuck Schumer is a Jew himself, and he was saying, no, Netanyahu has gone too far. We have to see this in other people. We have to have the ability to tell the truth, whether it's our mother, father, sister. He says, if you don't hate mother, father, sister, brother, even your own life, for my sake, you can't be my... In other words, the truth has to be absolute.
Yeah.
Can't be relative. It can't be objective. He says, so that you may prove yourself to be blameless and guileless, without guile. You remember Nathaniel, he says, there's a man without guile. There's so much guile in the people of this nation today. Guile. Innocence and contaminated children of God without blemish in the midst of a morally crooked and spiritually perverted generation among whom you are seen as bright lights that you become beacons shining out clearly in the world of darkness. Within this dark world, and you know, Todd Graves, he got to the point where he addressed what Governor Landry did against him to dilute his district because he stood up to it. But as a beacon of light among the Republicans, that's a light that's trying to shine bright. I'm interested in how this could turn out. So you have to be able to go against the forces of God, no matter how high a power, a political position, or religious position they hold, you have to be ready to die for the cause.
Yes.
The sacrifice. The living says, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights. You have many in this Republican Party, and I failed to be able to call the guy's name. I think it starts with a K, one of the representatives that's fought so ardently against this, him and Liz Cheney or whatever. But that's a beacon of light that stands out. I think about the Marine, Vittman, how he stood up. We have to stand up for the truth, and we can't That has to be our heroes, or the heroes of faith, and the ones that stand for truth. Even though they suffer at the hands of the wicked, and God tells us these things what's going to be happening. That's the more sure word of prophecy, that these things does come to pass. But we can't be fearful when they come to our door. When they knock on our door, we must be able to answer that door, that we're not cowards. He says, be strong and of a good courage. The book of Revelation 21:11 says, having God's glory filled with his radiant light, the brilliance of it resemble a rare and very precious jewel like jasper. He's talking about the new Jerusalem that's coming down. He's not talking about a physical Jerusalem. He's talking about the church Jerusalem. That without measure, you can't measure this church because it's worldwide. It's church Catholic, in other words. It's universal. It's the one that he promised Abraham, your seed would be as the sand of the seashore, innumerable. You can't count it. So it's not that little place over there with Netanyahu fighting and trying to destroy the Palestinians, fighting against Hamas or something. It's not a piece of ground, but this is the church that's coming down from heaven. This is the new Jerusalem. That has a radiant shine that we've all been waiting for. We've all heard from. Through spiritual enlightenment. That's why it says rise up and shine. He's quickening us. He's making us alive. He's calling his people to life. He's putting his spirit within his people. He's strengthening them. He's giving them a new heart. He's writing those laws on their heart. And the more they listen to him, the more they study his word, the more they apply those words, the more enlightened they be, because they're walking in faith. The truth shall prevail. Psalms 18:28 say, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. The Amplified says, for you caused my lamp to be lighted and to shine. The Lord my God illumines my darkness. He gives me the light. He's a light unto my path. He's a lamp to my feet. He's going to put some people's light out. He tells us about it in Revelation. He's going to take that candlestick, that light from out of the lampstand. There was the five wise and the five foolish. Their lights were shining when they went to sleep, but they didn't put oil in their lamps. They ran out of oil. They had to go out and buy oil. They missed the groom while they were buying oil. They had their light shining at one time now, but they wasn't wise. You remember I said five wise and five foolish, and he gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. He says continually being filled with the Spirit. Don't stop now. Don't stop. You keep pressing on. Psalm 119:30 says, the entrance of thine words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The Amplified says, the unfolding of your glorious words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding to the simple, to the childlike. Even a child could understand it. Unlike the Geico commercial where it says, so simple a caveman could understand. This is very, because he's going to unfold the plan. His preachers unfold the plan. His teachers unfold the plan. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling together of yourself. If you keep coming back, over the years, if this is fed into you, you're just like a computer. You remember I was telling you about that hard drive and why they call it a PC? You make it into your personal computer. Well, God's personally, through those preachers and teachers, hammer his word onto the hard drive of your heart. Through the Spirit gives you a collective understanding which you can recall. Yeah. It says, the Spirit brings former things to remembrance. Yes. You remember how the apostles say, you remember when he was among us, he said this, he said that.
Yes.
How sometimes you be going places or something and it dawn on you. You know, I heard that in church and a preacher. Remember, we learned this or whatever. That's implanted in you. But God had watered it with something.
Yes.
When he watered it, he gave it the increase. It's for bud and bring forth fruit. Yes. At a specific time, that which he planted in you, he had set something to be a catalyst. And something that was done spurred the growth of that what was in you. But it has to be placed in you. It doesn't come by fiat. It has to be placed in you, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why he sends preachers to bring us that glorious good news, to be that light in the darkness.
Yes.
The living says, as your plan unfolds, even the simple can understand it. You know, and as I told you, a mystery is something that has to be revealed or shown to us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't figure a mystery out. The mystery of godliness, Paul said, it was given unto him to show the mystery of godliness. There's a mystery of godliness and a mystery of iniquity. God gives us understanding. Proverbs 29 and 13, the poor man and the oppressor have this. The poor man and the oppressor have this in common. The Lord gives light to the eyes of both. Each man, if he's enlightened, it comes from the Lord. There's none good, not one. If something has been revealed, a good's been given to you, it came from God. Rich and poor alike, the living says, are in this. Each depends on God for light. Each depends on God for light. It's about the light. God giving light, God enlightening you, God causing you to see the light. God quickens and awakens you and causing that light to shine ever brighter. Isaiah 29 and 18 says, in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. They will be better than the Laodiceans, because you remember the Laodiceans was poor, wretched, naked, and blind, and they couldn't hear. God told Isaiah, he said, I'm going to close their eyes so they can't see. I'm going to stop up their understanding where they won't understand, and I'm going to close their ears to where they can't hear. Monkey see no evil, hear no evil. You're in bad shape there, buddy. Unless God opens it up. The Amplified Version says, on that day the deaf will hear the words of the book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see the words of the book. He's going to give sight to the blind. And that is spiritual sight, spiritual insight, spiritual enlightenment. The living says, in that day the deaf will hear the words of the book, and out of the gloom and darkness the blind will see my plans. See, God brings us out of the dark into the marvelous light.
Yes.
But it's his word that does this. It's through his servants. It's through the work of the Spirit. God is doing a work, and if we don't see the business of the work and that brightness of the work shining so ever brighter, you start to say, man, I get it. I keep getting it. You start looking at this thing, and it's getting clearer and clearer each day. We're getting stronger each day, not weaker. Where we at here, the 60 and 19, I read that earlier. The Amplified reads, the sun will no longer be your light by day, nor shall the bright glow of the moon give light to you, but the Lord will be an everlasting light for you, and your God will be your glory and splendor. He's your source. Now, remember now, we're not talking natural. We're talking spiritual. In other words, Solomon was the wisest natural man that ever lived. But that wasn't spiritual wisdom Solomon had. Solomon fell from grace. Solomon did just as God says, that the women drew Solomon's hearts away from Solomon. And you better watch the women.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He says, Abraham and Adam also, because you listen to the voice of your wife.
Yeah.
We had better be leaders. We had be men, and men better be men. God is calling a people, and there's no male or female, because there's some stronger women than there are men.
Yeah.
Men has a vicissitude today. Men has a femininity about it, effeminate, and you have men that follow other men and fear other men. That's what I can't figure out about a lot of these men in this political climate we're in today. Why would you follow another man that's a liar, a cheat, and a scoundrel unless you have those propensities yourself? I wouldn't get involved with men that wouldn't stand up for themselves. I wouldn't want a yes man and yes man in my church. I wouldn't want a yes man to be my father. You would have to be an independent man in the Lord. In other words, you have to work out your own salvation. Just because you tell me yes, yes, well, no, that doesn't mean that you're true to God, though. You're true to another man, and that's the individual. We call that idolatry. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So you have to be able to be like Paul was. Paul said when Peter came, he stood him face to face and said, Peter, you're wrong for what you're doing. You are wrong in what you're doing. It's scriptural that he confronted Peter on this. It's scripture. It says, rebuke the elder that sinned. Rebuke him openly so others are seeing fear. Because this is not the way we do this. This can't be hid under cover or anything. Acts 26 and 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in Christ.
Yes.
That's his mission statement. He had come to turn men from Satan, from the power of Satan, from the power of death, to open up their eyes. And he wanted them to receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among the saints. That's why he came. That's a mission purpose there. That's why we go out. That's why when we raise our children and our grandchildren, it's something we stand for, and we have to be steadfast and immovable in the faith. Don't care who we have to stand up against. Amplified says, to open their spiritual eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness and release from sin, from the bondage of sin. Bondage is bondage. If you're in bondage to some individual, if you in bondage to drugs, food, or some material thing, God had come to set the captives free. He had came to set us at liberty. Nothing shall have us bound. Whatever you loose on earth could be loosed in heaven. What's bound here on earth could be bound in heaven. Why should you be bound if he came to set us at liberty? Why should you let anything or anyone bind you? Samson told his wife how to bind him. People see today they're trying to put you in a bind. God didn't come and send his son to come and die for us, to remain a slave of sin.
Yes.
He wanted for us to have inheritance among those who have been sanctified, that is, set apart and made holy by faith in him. By faith in him, this is how this comes about, that you are sanctified, you're set apart. Don't go around cowardly. No cowards go enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be strong and of a good courage. That's what he continually told Joshua and everyone. All the way into the book of Revelations, he says, no cowards go enter in. The living says to open their eyes to their true condition, for you to see what a mess you is, what a wretched mess, how depraved you are, so that you might repent and live in the light of God instead of the darkness of Satan, and so that you may receive forgiveness for sins, along with and receive inheritance along with all God's people everywhere, whose sins are cleansed away, who are set apart by faith. If you're not allowing God to work in your life, if you're allowing sin and other people to work in your life, it's your own fault that you allow it. He can only work in those who let him.
Yes.
Satan has no power, authority over you. You belong to God. He had redeemed you from this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let him weaken you. Don't let him weaken. As we cast out this doubt and unbelief, 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, just as he brooded, the Spirit brooded upon the earth, and the earth was darkness and without form and void, and the Spirit of the Lord brooded upon it, he commanded the light to shine out of darkness, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
for the same thing he does in our hearts, the same thing he does with us. He causes the light to come. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Amplified reads, "For God who has said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory and majesty of God that's clearly revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. To see his face, to see his image." It says, when we see him, we'll be just like him.
Yes.
He's giving us glimpses of him. He's bringing us progressively closer to see his image and his likeness. As in a mirror, we see darkly, dimly, but it's coming to light. What it is, just as he spoke that light be in Genesis, that same God of creation. That's why we remember the Sabbath, because he's the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the one that did all this, the creator. He says, light be. He brings forth light. The same one that came in the book of John that was light. He was the light of the world. That lighted all men that cometh into the world.
Yes.
Ephesians 1 and 18 says, and we're talking about spiritual eyes. Mm-hmm. That's your mind. That's your nous, your understanding. He says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's Ephesians 1 and 18. Listen at it again. He says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, that's the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened. When something is enlightened, it's like flooded with light by the Holy Ghost. That interest of his word, that preaching. He says he giveth us the spirit, the earnest of our inheritance. And the spirit will guide you into all truth. That's going to give you understanding. It says, so that you will know and cherish the hope that is the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you. As you expect this and have hope in this, your hope is not going to be made ashamed. He's not going to confound you. He's going to deliver on what is promised. The Living says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he has called you to share. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to him. That's why he did, to bring many sons unto glory. We cry, Abba, Father. That inheritance, if you could just see what he has for you, what he has promised for you. You wouldn't play with marbles and play in the dirt on this side. You would rise up. Instead of being a caterpillar, crawling around on the ground, going through the dirt, why not be a butterfly and metamorphosize and fly away? Soar on the wings of the air.
Yes.
That's what God has for you. A view from up here. Not down here, not on the earth, not an earthly perspective. That's terrestrial. We're looking from a spiritual, a celestial perspective. That's why he has us sitting in heavenly places. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why don't you show forth that? Start walking that way circumspectively. He said, it's finished. All you have to do is walk therein.
Yes.
When is this going to get through to you? Only when he enlightens you, he starts waking your consciousness up. That's what he's dealing with, your conscious man. It's way down in the subconscious.
Yes.
We must bring it to the surface. We must dig up our fallow ground. We must allow that to be watered. Where the word is watering. That you can bring forth fruit. We have to sometimes work hard to get it up there.
Mm. Yes.
And Paul says, stir up the gift that's in you. Stir it up. The Amplified says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues and perfections of him who had called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Not as a hypocrite, but as a true believer, firm and steadfast in the faith, that you may call forth the hypocrite's hand, that you can call forth, as Charles Schumer was standing up and says, this is not right. We have to stand up. There's so many of people saying that I'm behind this preacher, I'm behind this person. Well, if that person's doing wrong and he's in the church, Paul says, let him be anathema. In other words, let him be accursed. If he's preaching another Jesus, another gospel, let him, if an angel from heaven come down and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. If he's teaching you something else that the apostles hadn't taught you, if he's teaching any other thing, this doctrine, this is sound doctrine. There are a lot of people are getting this thing twisted and misconstrued. And they're using the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, now be weary now. It's going to be a many of them come in my name. They will come in the name of Jesus. When you hear somebody say that they not going to allow this to happen to you in the name of Jesus, that they not going to touch the cross and they not going to touch the Bible, that's an antichrist. Because Jesus says you will have persecution. If they've done it to me, they're going to do it to you. When you try to use political might to hold your enemies down, you are antichrist. You are a beast with a false prophet behind you. Anytime the churches start standing behind these political entities, that's an antichrist. That's a false church. He says, but you are not like that, for you have been chosen by God himself. You are priest of the king. You are holy and pure. You are God's very own. All this so that you may show to others how God called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. He called you. He called each and every one of us so we would say, oh man, he called him. Let's worship him. He's our leader. He's sent from God. No, he's walking the trail just like you. He got his own road to hoe. Let him hoe his own road. I don't worship no man. We got a problem here. We have a problem in this nation. If we're not studying to show ourselves approved, you may get deceived and led away by the Antichrist. You're not arising and waking it up. You're being lulled into a spiritual sleep. You're being duped. That's what Paul said. Who had bewitched you that you should be moved unto another gospel? Spiritual dawn. Spiritual dawn. The coming of Christ ushers in a spiritual dawn. Isaiah 21 and 12 says, the watchman says, the morning comes only briefly, but also comes the night of Babylonian oppression. If you would ask of me, then ask again. If Edom really wishes to know, come back. Let me read that in the Living. It says, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, your judgment day is dawning now. Turn again to God so that I can give you better news. Seek for him, then come ask again. In other words, as you ask for this, the Babylonian captivity was coming, but Jerusalem has to be destroyed. In other words, that earthly Jerusalem, he had to destroy Judah because they didn't keep its Sabbaths. They were very disobedient. The sins of Manasseh fell upon their heads. But just as Manasseh turned and pleaded to God in repentance, we have to turn to God in repentance. In Babylon, I told you, they were supposed to repent. They came back. Some of them came back to rebuild the temple. He says, come again. Some of them came back, but most of them stayed in Babylon. When Cyrus freed them, they stayed there because they were comfortable in Babylon. That got used to a Babylonian lifestyle. They wasn't seeking the God of Israel. Isaiah says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is arisen upon you. The Amplified reads that, arise from spiritual depression to a new life. Shine, be radiant with glory and brilliance of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. He's talking to each one of us individually to be individual messiahs, to be independent, to be John the Baptist, to be that spirit of Elijah, to proclaim, to go out and declare and make disciples of all men, preaching and making disciples.
Yes.
Go out and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ had died and he was God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You have a redeemer and that it's a new day. Why walk around you with your head down and all depressed? That's when he talked to the men on the road to Emmaus and he said, what problem? What had happened? And he said, oh, Jesus, we thought he was going to be the one and he died. He was crucified. And until Jesus gave them that bread, and they ate of it, that's when the eyes was open. They was in, stop hanging your head down. He's died. He's done rose again. He's off of the cross. He's been resurrected. He lived in us.
Amen.
He's calling us to life. He's calling us to that life right now. You can have a good life now, but it's not going to be your best life. Your best life is after this life is over with, because you're going to suffer in this life. You will have some time when your family don't go the same way you go. You will have some time you might have to walk a different way than your spouse, your children, your parents. You will have the days that you will be all alone. You will be misunderstood. You will be taken the wrong way. But you will have to still float your own boat. You will have to hold your own rope. You will have to look unto God. It says, arise, my people, let your light shine for all the nations to see. For the glory of the Lord is streaming from you. Why do we keep telling you this is emanating from you? Allow that light to so shine. Let it come out. Stop suppressing it, grieving and quenching the spirit. Let the lion out of the cage. As a roaring lion, Jesus just comes forth. He's the Lion of Judah. Why are you trying to pacify this thing? Malachi 4:2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You ever seen a little calf as soon as he's born and how it bolts out of the stall running around all giddy and getting his legs up on it?
Yep.
You need to get that revitalization. He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Rise up. It's time to fight. You remember I said last couple of weeks ago they was talking about how low and how short the State of the Union will be? And here it is, this 80-year-old man steps up there and knocks it out of the park. He delivers a vibrant, a powerful speech.
Yes.
When the power is not of you, let it be of God. See, that's from becoming meek, not filled with self, but under the control of God. Moses was the meekest man upon the earth. But he had to be aware that devil was still in him, that old nature. And the people aroused that old nature and he smote the rock. You have to buffet your body, that humbling yourself. Luke 1:76-78 says, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high had visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. How would you like to be that individual bringing that good news as a messenger of God? You like John, you coming in and telling them this is the way, the light, you're a light unto the Gentiles. Those that are not in the church, that hadn't been in the church, that don't know of this message, that inherited twisted or something, you be their herald. You speak the word of God. He's appointing that to you. When you go have faith to think that God is talking to you, don't do like Gideon. He's an old man of value. Gideon looked around and said, oh, me? He didn't realize he was talking to him. You can wax valiant in fight if God's on your side.
Yes.
I used to tell my mother, and I still have, if the crowd's too large now, I don't like to speak in front of a lot of people. I don't like to be in front of a lot of people. I don't, but I ask God, God, to strengthen me to say what you give me to say. Give me boldness. You remember Peter was afraid even of the three little maidens? They say, you was with him, you was with him. But then when Peter came on after the day of Pentecost, he had feeling with the Spirit, and he says, man ought to obey God rather than man. They took note of that boldness Peter had. He says, you know what? This man's been with Jesus. He's going to give you that holy boldness. He's going to give you a boldness to stand. It says, and you, my little son, shall be called the prophet of the glorious God, for you will prepare the way for the Messiah. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And this will be because the mercy of our God is very tender, and heaven's dawn is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and death's shadow, and its guide to, and as a guide to us of peace. So that there we are. We're the ones to do this. He had chosen us. Doesn't that give you a special feeling that God has chosen you? It's like the widow woman, the Samaritan woman. She didn't have now a husband, and Jesus said, the one you have now ain't yours. Notice she ran back and told the people in her village, and she says, come meet a man that had told me all this. She was proud of meeting Jesus, and she exposed Jesus to the rest of the people around her. Just like Rahab the harlot, call her people in and say, if y'all want to be saved, y'all come on in this house.
Yes.
You have to call the people in. Go out in the highways and the byways and gather them and tell them to come in. You give them the light. You can't make them hear. God's the only one that can make them hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Now you have to proclaim. Romans 13:12 says, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The living says, the night is far gone. The day of his return will soon be here. So quit the evil deeds of darkness and put on the armor of right living, as we who live in the daylight should. Be decent and true in everything you do so that all can approve your behavior. Don't spend your time in wild parties and getting drunk and in adultery or lust or fighting or jealousy. Redeeming the time, for the day is evil. Let's find a new way. And Christ says, I am the way. I am the truth and I'm the life. Let's follow after him. 2 Peter says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. That's Christ, the day star. So I'm talking about the morning star in the book of Revelation. That word of God that's shining, his word shines in a dark place. And I tell you, the entrance of his word give it light. It says, so we have the prophetic word made more certain. You do well to pay close attention to it as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and light breaks through the gloom and the morning star rises in your heart. That's the Amplified. The Living says, so we have seen and proved that what the prophets said came true. That's the apostle saying, we have seen it, we've said it, we've proved. Remember Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is what Joel had spoke about your sons and daughters prophesying and having dreams. We seeing the word of God constantly come in truth. Jesus did everything to say so that the word of God be fulfilled. So we know that this is a more true word of prophecy. He says, so you will do well to pay close attention to everything that have been written for light shining into dark corners. Their words help us to understand many things that otherwise would be dark and difficult. But when you consider the wonderful truth of the prophet's word, then the light will dawn in your souls and Christ, the morning star, will shine in your heart. So Let's walk away with that tonight. Let's walk away, and we'll talk about this again maybe Sunday.